Hello, thank you for listening to this sermon from our Revive service. We hope it helps you learn more about God and allow you to grow closer to Him and in your faith.
Good morning. Thank you, Jay and Ken. Thanks, Andrew and the praise team. Thanks to our crew in the back. And I'm sorry if it's a little chilly in here. So we've been having some boiler issues. And sure enough, I came in this morning and two out of the three were blinking red. So that's never a good sign. But thankful that the Lord's given us a little bit of heat, and we'll keep working on that, all right? So part of it, I just like to say that we purposefully did it just to keep you awake this morning, all right? So we know after the turkey and stuffing, you know, you can quickly get a little sleepy eye. Some of you over here, I can already tell you're headed out, so... great to see each of you here. Thank you for being here as we worship our great Lord and Savior. And a special treat for us, really, to have Todd and Jen Jane with us. Before I share a little bit about them, I just want to remind you, our missions team put together this missionary booklet. And we would encourage you, there are some left out in the foyer there, that if you have not picked up one, that you do that. That you pick this up, put it in a place, not where it's going to get lost, but put it somewhere where you can review it. Our family, we try at our family dinners, whenever we are able to sit and have family dinner, because our schedules are so crazy. But we try to pray through one. And so it just sits open on our table. And the next meal, we flip it to the next one. And it allows us just to pray through our missionaries. It allows us just to be able to keep them in front of us. And so it is a treat to be able to have Todd and Jen Jane with us and their three children. They tried to come in March of 2020. And it was actually the Sunday that it all started, where everything shut down. That Sunday, they were scheduled to be here. And I remember walking through with Todd on the phone and like, hey, we want you to come, not sure. And I'm not trying to get into anybody's thoughts and preferences. What we knew at that time and at that moment, we made a decision. And it was hard because I wanted to see them. I wanted you, our church, to see them again, because God's been doing some amazing things with their lives and through them. Todd and Jen started in 2013 in Cambodia, and then God moved them a couple years later. God moved them to Thailand, and they've been serving there very faithfully, just doing some extraordinary work there and just seeing some great fruit. We're excited to have them back, kind of the first time with all of their children, and excited to have them with us. It's a treat. I was talking with Josiah there, and he's 11-teen. I came up with that. He didn't say that, but I said he's a teenager, 11-teen. It just sounds right. So he says, but I'm going to be turning 12. I said, well, just turn that into 12-teen as well. 11-teen, 12-teen, 13. It just flows, right? And then Isabella and then Micah are their two other children. So it's a treat to not only have them, but Todd's father flew in as he will help Todd drive back, and they'll drive through Montana back to Washington. And so as they get ready for that, the rest of the gang got the easy tickets. They don't have to make that drive. They get to fly back, but they need to take that vehicle. So that way their hub is kind of in Norwalk, Ohio, but also out in Washington State. And so we can pray for them. But excited to have Todd and Jen with us. I know there's going to be a video that they're going to show you first. And then Todd's going to come and share a little bit from the Word, share some ministry updates, and then Jen will join him. And so super, super thrilled. I know we're going to watch a video first, but would you help them feel welcomed by giving them a round of applause and welcoming Todd and Jen this morning?
I can see with my whole heart I have my Savior, my joy is complete.
Welcome to Thailand, a place of ancient history, royal splendor, and fun-loving people who need Jesus. It's also the place that we call home, and where we've been engaged in church planting ministries for almost 9 years now. Our mission is to multiply leaders, churches, and mission movements among the Thai people. And now with our new expanded role of Regional Director of Southeast Asia, we aim to accomplish the same mission in the spiritually dark region around us, including the countries of Cambodia, Indonesia, Malaysia, the Philippines, and Mongolia. For many years now, we've ministered in the concrete jungle of Bangkok, Thailand's capital city. Here, we've had the privilege of doing a number of different church planting ministries, from evangelism of Thais that we just met, to training Thai leaders and pastors across the country. Here's just a sampling of some of the ministries we've done in Bangkok. Building relationships and sharing the gospel through teaching English. Good Soil Training, where we taught pastors to teach the Bible effectively from Genesis to Revelation, thereby enabling them to share the gospel with clarity. Using the story of hope to teach God's Word from Genesis to Revelation to church members. Sharing the gospel in the slums of Klang Thoi. Hosting sweet times of fellowship with the body of Christ at our home.
During this past term, a door opened up for us to go to the northeast region of Thailand, known as Isan. So we packed up our things and headed out of the concrete jungle of Bangkok and found ourselves in the actual jungle in the countryside in Thailand. We went to a small town called Suang Den Din, which means bright land, where ironically virtually everyone there lives in spiritual darkness. Here, once again, we took the opportunity to bring the gospel to the unreached, and to equip the church for ministry, like sharing the gospel with workers at a rubber tree farm, building relationships and making new connections at the local market,
training the church leaders and discipling the believers there, setting a biblical vision for the church so that it's on course to grow in a healthy way.
Teaching the Bible to the children of unbelieving families from the surrounding community of Suang, showing how the Passover lamb of the Old Testament is a picture of Christ on the cross, and then celebrating his resurrection on Easter. And of course, embracing all the joys of countryside life.
Jesus, we crown you, O Lord our Lord.
We feel humbled and honored to be a part of the Great Commission in Thailand and in all of Southeast Asia. We ask, just as Paul did in 2 Thessalonians 3:1, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you.
Great to be here this morning, and it has been
quite a long time since we've been here, but I have good news. Everyone looks great. No one looks any older. You guys look better than before, actually, so congratulations. No, but seriously, though, it's really nice to be here. And I was, you know, talking with Pastor this morning and talking about how he was talking about how, you know, they view us and our ministry as an extension of your guys' ministry here. And we view it the exact same way. So we're super thankful that this church sees that and sees the truth that we are there, yes, on the other side of the world. And yet your guys' part in our ministry is huge. And it's your prayers and ways that you communicate with us and support us is so much of how we can stay there and continue to do the work there. And so we consider you guys a huge part of our ministry. And again, like Pastor said, not just, you know, like sending child support checks or something like that to us. No, we feel like we are in the same family together and doing the work of the Lord there and fulfilling the Great Commission there. And so, again, very thankful that you guys have that outlook on the ministry there. And I wanted to share a little bit from the Word before we share more of updates on our ministry, and hopefully you got a good snapshot of what's been going on there in the past four years plus. But before that, I just want to share some from our heart about missions and what that looks like, and how does God view missions, and how ought we to go about doing missions, both as a church that supports and sends, and us as missionaries, so that we can do this together in the way that God has shown to do that. And so there's a lot you could say about this, but I want to focus on one thing this morning, is that missions because of Christ, that we do missions because of Christ alone. And there's three things that I just want to briefly share with you. And that is that we do missions because of Christ, because we know that conversion is in Christ alone. And we know that we are also commissioned by Christ, and that Christ is the head of the church. So if we look at this first one here that we talk about, that we do missions because conversion is Christ alone, in Christ alone. I want to ask, why are you here this morning? Well, maybe because someone said there's going to be some fun missionaries visiting or something. No, I'm not talking about why are you here in the church this morning. I'm talking about, as a believer, why are you even here? I'm talking about your testimony, how God drew you and how God saved you. You know, maybe some of you, maybe you got saved later in life, and your life before Christ was horrible, was awful. Or if you're like me, I was saved at a very young age, and I grew up in a Christian home, and I knew how to walk with Christ from a younger age. But I do want to share this verse with you that really describes what happened, and this is in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verses 1, and then 4 through 6. And on my notes here, it's in a different version than here, so I'm going to read from the screen for everyone, okay? It says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So whatever your testimony is, whatever your story is about how you came to know Christ, this is what happened in your life. And I've heard it said, and it's true, that there is no such thing as a boring testimony. Because it's not about us, it's about Christ and what he did for us. And not anything that we have done. And as we think about our conversion that happened because of Christ alone, I hope then that it creates in us this desire to share that good news with others. In Isaiah 6:8, it says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" Now, Isaiah, he sees Christ's glory, and he's overwhelmed by his own sinfulness, and he's overwhelmed by God's immense glory, and he's overwhelmed by the sinfulness of the people that he's going to go minister to. And he's overwhelmed by the magnitude of God's mercy and forgiveness and his cleansing. And he just can't help then to be eager to go on this mission for the Lord. Because what else could he do? Conversion is in Christ alone. He knew
the dire need of that. And if during this time, as I'm sharing, if I sound urgent or I sound very serious, it's because it is urgent and serious. It's a great joy, but it's also a very urgent matter of sharing Christ. In 1 Corinthians 9:16, Paul says, "For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for a necessity is laid upon me. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." I know that Jen and I, we've had our seasons there in the missions in Cambodia and Thailand, where we've gone through struggles, challenges, difficulties, trials, times where we thought, maybe it's just better just to throw in the towel and go home. And yet, we've never done that because necessity is laid upon us. We do not feel called to come back here to a place that is no longer our home anyways. It's the call that God has on our life. We are called to Thailand. We are sure of that. We kept coming back to this, that necessity is laid upon me. And I remember this when I was first applying to go into missions. I had spent some time in Southeast Asia, in Cambodia in particular, and missions became more and more of a thing in my life, and I knew God was calling me into full-time missions, and I was trying to figure out the next step, and I sent an email to ABWE, and I said, you know, here's what's going on in my life, and what's the next step? And all I can explain it as is that, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. It is a necessity to this, to me. So, and I want to say, anyone who here who's interested in missions or becoming a missionary or just wants to dive into that world a little bit more, if you're going into missions, it needs to be a necessity to you. It can't just be one good option for your life. It must be the only option. It can't be, I want to try it out and see how it goes, and it seems, you know, if it works out, and then I'm going to decide if I continue. No, it must be a necessity to you to share the good news. It must be a necessity to you to go and preach the gospel. And because that is what will keep you there, continuing to do that. Because salvation is in Christ alone. There's no other way. So it's the utmost importance for missionaries to go and preach the gospel to those who would otherwise die in their sins and go to hell. Our conversion is in Christ alone. And now it's our duty and calling to share this good news. And then, of course, many of you are familiar with Romans 10:17 that says faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. And this comes after, you know, a long set of questions that basically say, hey, if people are going to hear the good news, if people are going to be saved or be discipled and know God, have a relationship with Christ, someone needs to go and tell them. Now, when you look at many mission fields around the world, the needs can seem overwhelming. The poverty, the sickness or the lack of education, the poor living conditions. But we can't lose sight of what is most important. Because we look at those places and, you know, we need to realize that life improvement is not the most important thing for them. Or learning English is not the most important thing. Being a part of a good living community there is not the most important thing. Having a relationship and being reconciled to God is the most important and most urgent thing for them on that in those places. And that's why missions is essential and it's commanded. That leads us to that second point, that we're commissioned by Christ. We find that the very thing that I hope that we have a desire and passion to do because of what Christ did for us, to realize that Christ has then commanded us to do that very thing. We're commissioned by Christ. And we look at these very familiar passages. The Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20 says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age.'" And in Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, there's many things you could say about these two passages and the Great Commission, you know, what we're commanded to do, to go, to teach, to baptize. But I want to remind us of what is holding all of this together. What is actually enabling us to do the Great Commission. In this first one, we see that Jesus begins by saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And he ends it by saying, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And in Acts, he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." This is what makes the Great Commission possible. The authority of Jesus, the presence of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Without that, we could not do it. And that's what we ought to rely on and depend on and look to continually. The authority to go and make disciples, to share the good news of Jesus that brings people from darkness to light, that authority is in Jesus himself, the God of this universe. And Jesus has the right and authority to say what will be happening on his in this universe, this world that is rightfully his. And Jesus says, "My children are to be going about telling everyone about me so they can receive salvation." So whether, you know, even if you're not in missions, because this is, you know, unapologetically all about missions that I'm trying to describe here and give you a picture of on the mission field. But even if you're not in missions, don't ever, you know, if you're a full-time mom or you're working full-time or whatever your role is in society and in your family, don't ever apologize for bringing the gospel to someone. Don't ever do that. And for missionaries, we ought to never apologize for bringing the gospel to dark places so they may go from the kingdom of darkness to the light. Because there are people, there are organizations, there are governments that don't like that. Some people say, but the gospel is just going to offend them, or you won't get a lot of people who follow you or gather, you know, if you just preach the gospel to them. But Jesus has the authority, and it overrides any so-called authority that man has. We also see that Christ's presence and the power of the Holy Spirit enables us to obey the Great Commission. You know, missionaries and Christians, we often find ourselves in dark places. But God is with us. The Lord is with us. We missionaries, we find ourselves sharing the gospel with people who seem to be impossible to save from our perspective. But I praise the Lord that they are not, because it is God's power. It's the Holy Spirit and God's word. How is this possible? It's because we don't save people. God saves people. In the simplicity of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, we have confidence that God will do his work. We see here in 1 Corinthians, it says, "And I, when I came to you, brothers," this is Paul writing this, he says, "I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my message were not implausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And I'm telling you, you know, in the missions world and even in ministry, that with all these pressures out there to be efficient, to get instant fruit and results, and to have the awesome newsletters sent out to everyone. With all those expectations, it's tempting to not to rely on Christ anymore, but to come up with your own ways of doing ministry so that it looks nice. And I know that happens in the States as well. But the problem is, if our goal, our main highest aim is to produce results, you know, whether that's churches planted or souls saved or trainees trained or whatever that is, we're starting off all wrong. Because it's Christ who gave us the Great Commission, and he was the one that said, all that we need is the Bible in our hands and the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And as we go and proclaim, as we plant these gospel seeds, we watch Christ do the work, not ourselves. Some of you might be familiar with Adoniram Judson. He was the first American foreign missionary. He went to Burma eventually. He wasn't a perfect man, but he spent his life for Christ there. What was he known for? I want you to listen to this description to hear what Judson was known for as a missionary. He had said he had a holy desire to honor Christ and give them, the Burmese, the scripture through self-sacrifice. And that sacred book, the Bible, became known as the golden lamp hung out of heaven to enlighten the nations that sit in darkness. And knowing that the love of Christ constrained him, Buddhists and animists would come from all around, even from nations bordering the Burmese Empire, and asked, "Are you the Jesus Christ man? Give us a writing that tells us about Jesus Christ." That's what he was known for. What are we known for as missionaries? What are the missionaries that you send out known for? What is your church known for? Maybe you just, as a Christian, what are you known for? Those are questions to think on. And this leads us to the third point, that Christ is the head of the church. And that's important to realize because we seek to exalt Christ above everything else. Like we see in Colossians 1, it says, "He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent, first place in everything." This is actually a passage that our small group in Thailand is memorizing. And of course, it's in Thai, so that gives us a double challenge to do it as far as memory verses go. But we wanted to do that to remind ourselves that Christ is above all and takes first place in our life. Christ is the head. You know, missions, we go out because we want to see churches planted. We want to see people come to faith in Christ and gather together. We want to see new churches grow and be established in Christ. And the church, it doesn't exist to do good in the community. That's something that most churches do and should take advantage of and seek opportunity to do. But that's not why the church exists. And the church doesn't exist to be a place that's loving and welcoming to people, to be there for them. That's also good, but that's not why the church exists. The church exists to exalt Christ, the head of all things. So all things that the church does, we do in order to exalt him, whether that's classes in the morning or a revive service or other ministries that you guys do here, all of that is done to exalt Christ. It doesn't end with that activity or that ministry. That's not where it ends. It should point on further to Christ. Jen came up with this really cool illustration a number of years ago, and I stole it from her at one point, and I'm using it again. We went to go, after we got married, we drove back to Washington, and we went through Glacier National Park in Montana. And if you go there, a lot of times you'll be driving through some of the roads, and you'll see cars parked and people outside of their cars, and they're looking off in the distance, they're pointing, or they have their binoculars looking out. And it's, of course, you see them doing that, you're like, okay, I got to pull over and stop and see what they're doing, what they're looking at. And so one time we did that, we get out, and there's a fairly large group of people, and we look up, and oh, they see a bear in the distance, and that's pretty cool. And we were drawn to them, not because of them and who they were, but they were so focused and so interested in what was beyond them that we had to go and see what it was all about. And we ought to be the same with Christ. We ought to exalt Christ so much in our life and point to him continually that people are drawn to us, not because of us, but because of who we're pointing to. And that is what we seek to do in the church here and in missions in Thailand as well. And we know, too, from Matthew, I'm just going to read part of the verse where it says, where Jesus says to Peter that on this rock I will build my church. Jesus doesn't say, I will build your church, or you will build your church. Jesus says, I will build my church. Jesus Christ is preeminent in all of this. It's not us. You know, we have our role in the Great Commission, but in reality, we do nothing. It is Christ who builds the church. He is pleased to use us. I don't know why he's pleased to use us as sinful human beings, but he is. And so we rejoice in that, and it's great. It's amazing. I'm telling you, there are so many times when we're over there in many days, sometimes I'm pinching myself, and it feels like I'm living the dream. God is using us. Again, I don't know why or how he has chosen to use us who are weak and sinful and fail to bring the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to people who have never heard it before. I can't imagine anything better. And while we're really enjoying our time here and meeting people we haven't seen in forever because of COVID, I can't wait to get back. It is such a joy to be a part of the Great Commission there. And it's such a joy to have you guys a part of that as well. And I want to continue on by sharing then some of the stories, some of the people that God has opened up opportunities to be a part of the Great Commission there. And the Thai people that we've come to know and love and have seen them, have seen Christ work through them as well. I want to start by sharing about a young man named Man. That's right. His nickname is Man. And in Thailand, everyone has nicknames, okay? Because their other names are long and cumbersome and strange, even to them. So they all have nicknames. There's Man. The guy over here with the white shirt and the thumbs up, his name is Arm. That's just how it is. There are, apparently, I heard about some twins that were born. One's name was Capu, and the other one was Chino. Cappuccino. Okay. We also have some people in our neighborhood, On and Off. They're brother and sister. Okay, so everyone has fun nicknames there, so don't be surprised when we're talking about these people and they have these fun names like A, B, and whatnot. Anyways, Man is someone that I, through God's sovereignty, I was able to meet. He's a new believer, and connected with him, and spent time just starting to disciple him. I said, let's meet together, let's get into the Word together, let's do this together. And so, since we returned during COVID, I was able to go and connect with him and build a relationship with him and start pouring into him. And I've been able to do that ever since. And even now, we try to connect on video calls while we're here in States during furlough. So I've been really, really excited to see him grow. And most importantly, I've really seen him hold fast to his faith. You know, he has a lot more growing to do, but he's holding fast to his faith. Just before we came back here on furlough, I met with him, and he was sharing about how his family, his parents, who live about 3 hours away outside of Bangkok. By the way, our ministry mostly is in Bangkok, and as you saw in the video, we spent some time in northeastern Thailand as well. But he lives in Bangkok, and his parents asked him to come back to his hometown because they wanted him to join a Buddhist ceremony for his father, who is going to become a monk for a few months. And in Thai society, you are expected to honor your parents' requests. Honoring your parents is huge, as it should be. And we try to also talk about that with Thai people. Like, yes, the Bible calls us to honor our parents. He told them no, he can't do that because of his faith. And that caused a lot of tension and problems in the family. But he stood firm and said, no, he's not going to do that. That is, he can't. He can't go and support his father becoming a monk and join in this Buddhist ceremony. Thankfully, time has been able to help him mend some of that relationship with his parents. And just this past weekend, he was able to go up and visit them again. And without any Buddhist ceremony or whatnot. So please pray for Man. He's someone that will continue to disciple. Pray for him to really grow. And there's a lot of temptations there just to start to seek more things of the world and not really be serious about your faith, especially in Bangkok. So pray for him to stay strong and to grow and to really start to share his faith with others around him. And to kind of talk further to our opportunity that we had to go and do some ministry in northeastern Thailand, in a town called Sawang. The town is Sawang, and it's in a region. Northeast Thailand is called Isan, okay? So that's the region, and the town is Sawang. And we got connected with the ministry there to help it get back up on its feet. And so we were able to meet and work with, this is Bun Lom. He has a great testimony He would be the pastor there, and we kind of the main guy that I would work with up there during that time. And this is his wife Balung, and she's a firecracker, and she's a great cook too, as you can tell. This is Phuen. Phuen is actually she is from North Thailand in a tribe, the Akha tribe. And she, 10 years ago, she moved out to this ministry in Sawang to basically be a missionary within her own country in Thailand to help with the ministry. We love her. She's a great friend, great Bible teacher. She's the one, Aaron, who made that, her and her family made this tapestry that we gave as a gift. They wanted to do something special for the churches when we went to go visit. So, this is fun. And a really neat opportunity popped up while we were up there. Involving a rubber tree farm. And so there is a guy, a Christian Thai man, who, his name is B, by the way, and he and his family own a number of rubber tree farms all around Thailand, huge rubber tree farms. I mean, this is the actual picture of the one that we went to do our ministry there. You could drive and drive and drive and drive and drive and never escape. All right. Just really, really neat. But he has a heart to share the gospel. And so every year, at the end of the year, he has an end of the year party for all the workers there at this particular rubber tree farm, which is actually just 5-10 minutes away from where we were in Sawang there by the ministry, the church there. And so every year he throws a party and he tries to share the gospel through that end of the year party for his workers. This past year, he asked Bun Lam, the pastor there, to be the one to share the gospel. And so he did that. And at the end of it, they asked, who all now is interested to learn more about Jesus, about the love of Jesus? That's kind of where they left off. And there were 8 people that wanted to learn more. And so we planned another get-together in the following month. And so we were a part of that following get-together. And as we sat down to try to plan it, we have 8 people coming. What are we going to do for just all the logistics? And we decided also, how are we going to share the gospel? We decided to use something called Only 2 Paths, which is I and another missionary made this in the Thai language for be more specific to the Thai people and connect with them more. And so we got everything's prepared. And then B, the business owner, he said, hey, he calls Mun Lam and he says, oh, by the way, actually, there's going to be more like 20 people there. In a few days. We're like, oh, okay, this is a good problem to have. Let's go out, we'll get some more food, we'll prepare more things. All right, that's fine, we can work with that. And then the night before, he calls and says, actually, there's gonna be probably about 30 people coming. So, oh, okay, hallelujah, this is great. All right, we'll make do, we'll get some more chairs, we'll get some more food and all that stuff. So the next day, we went out, here's the team that we went out with. There's Bun Lam, Palung, and let's see, oh, Phuen's not in the picture, I can't. And then one of the church members and then the pastor and his wife and their daughter. Okay, and then up there you can see that's where we met. It's just kind of like a storage space, a little shelter there. And so we had to bring in everything, kind of a makeshift gathering. So we got together, we played some games, we ate some food, and then Mulam shared the gospel for an entire hour, which normally, no matter where you are, people start drifting off and falling asleep, right? they were engaged fully. They wanted to know what this was that we were sharing about. And at the end of it, it was about 4 or 5 people who professed faith in Christ after Bun Lam thoroughly shared the gospel and explained it and invited them to put their faith in Christ. And now we have them going back regularly every month to do discipleship follow-up with this group of small group of believers, and also are able to kind of reach out to the kids and their families as well. So we're just praising God for that opportunity and continue to pray for it, for those new believers especially to grow. It's just very hard. Everyone there is Buddhist, and it's very hard to be a Christian there. So continue to pray for them that will continue to grow as well. Also, just wanted to share with you this past, actually it's about a year now that I've been in this new role. It's not just a new role that I've switched to. It's more of an additional role. So we're still doing our normal evangelism, discipleship, leadership development there in Thailand. That's what we're there for. That's what we love. That's our heartbeat. And this is another blessing on top of that, is to be the regional director for Southeast Asia. which is where I work directly with the team leaders of the countries surrounding Thailand, actually. So including Thailand, we have Thailand, Cambodia, Cambodia, Indonesia, Malaysia, Philippines, and Mongolia as well. And so I work directly with the team leaders there to help with their missionary teams, to take care of any care needs, to work through planning, and a variety of things. And, you know, when ABWE first approached us about this, we actually declined. We said, no, it's not the right timing for us. We're still fully engaged in some of these other ministries that we really want to see through, and we believe God's, you know, leading us to continue this, but not to take on this role. And so we declined it at first. And then a number of months later, Jen and I were talking, and we were discussing this role again, and we thought, well, maybe it is something that we should, you know, consider doing. We thought, well, you know, the ball's in their court. You know, if they want to approach us again about it, that's up to them. And if they do, then we'll pray seriously about it. So we'll just leave it at that. So they approached us again about it not long after that. And we said, oh, okay, well, I guess we'll do what we said we would do. We'll pray more seriously about it. And we came to the conclusion that God was indeed calling us to this position, to this role in the ministry as well. And our feelings were a lot like Esther in a way that we said, for such a time as this, there are many questions that we had and still have about what this means for our life and our ministry. But we knew God was calling us to that. And again, there was a clear call, and we have confidence in that and trusting God in that. And we've seen how God has worked in this role and through us already. And so we're just praising God for that. It's been a steep learning curve, but it's been great. And like Aaron said, we used to be in Cambodia. We moved to Thailand for reasons to take care of my son's health. And so now with this new role, I get to have also some part in the ministry in Cambodia once again, which is really neat. And it's a great excuse to go visit Cambodia again. we're really thankful for it. Please pray for us. I described the role as working directly with the team leaders in each country. And yet come spring of next year, there will only be a team leader in Cambodia, and that's it, because of a number of different things that have come up. And so, wow, we really need team leaders in these countries. So please pray that God would raise up these team leaders. We look for them within the missionary team itself. And so we're currently working through. We have some pathways we're taking to help do that. But please pray along with us that God would raise up those team leaders, just to be able to further the gospel more there in those countries. It's hard work in Southeast Asia, but it's a joyful work. We love it. And I know our missionaries love it. And so we're very thankful for that. Jen is going to actually share a couple stories of her own right now about some people in her life that God has brought into her life and how God's worked in that. And then we'll close out after that.
This one working? No. Okay. So do you have a slide here? So I'm just going to share just a story about two different women, just to give you a little picture into the lives of some of the Thai people, help you understand a little bit more how to pray for them as well. So the lady here is Pa. And Pa is someone that we got to know in Bangkok. She came and was helping us with doing some work at the house, doing some cleaning and some laundry, just like 2 days a week. And Pa is someone who, in Thai, when people meet here, they often say, oh, Phut Keng Mak, which means she is very skillful at speaking. She talks a lot and shares a lot. But this allowed for us to really get to know Pa and what was going on in her life. And we were able to share a lot with her then of encouragement from the word. And Pa is someone who, it's a very typical situation in Thailand. She is like a family representative whose family all, and she was raised back in the province somewhere, but then she's like the family representative who gets sent to the city, who can make some money in the city to send it back to her family, because it's hard to to survive just doing rice farming or basic farming in Thailand. And so someone goes and they often leave their children with the parents back in the province. And so for Pa, that meant for her, she was in Bangkok and 8 hours away, or probably even more if she takes the public bus, which she does, is where her son was and her mom and her dad. And so in the village that she grew up in. So that was Pa's situation. So we learned a lot about this and just a lot of the brokenness in her family as well. So she had a lot of struggles and she'd talk with us about this. Over time, we did encourage Pa. We prayed for her to be able to return to help raise her son and for opportunities there. And after some time, I think maybe about 5 years, 4 years, she did end up going back to Northeast Thailand to live there. And as we shared truth with her, she never showed a lot of interest. She'd listen, but didn't show a lot of interest in the gospel. But the timing all worked out by God's timing. When we went up to Northeast Thailand, it ended up that where her village was only about 2 hours by bus from where the church where we were working. And so one of the times that we were taking a trip to be up there for about 5 weeks, she called us the day before and was really struggling. And so I just thought, well, you know, we're going to be close to you. Would you consider coming over and staying on the church grounds while we're there? And she said, yeah, I could do that just for about the 5 weeks that we're there. And we asked her to consider listening to a good listening of the gospel, you know, doing a Bible study, evangelistic study. And we were very excited because we knew one of the ladies that works at the church, Fun, who we showed you earlier. She has a heart for sharing the gospel and she loves God's word and holds it highly. And we knew she would love to do this with Pa. So Pa agreed to do that. And we were very excited about that and for her to be able to hear it from a Thai person who comes from that worldview. And so she did. And so she came over and she stayed on the church grounds for those 5 weeks. And she, went through the study. Todd helped Fun prepare with the evangelistic Thai book that they had prepared with that he and another missionary prepared. And they went through this over those 5 weeks. It was a blessing to really, as missionaries, we can share the truth, but we do not come from that Buddhist background and that worldview that they have to work through a lot of those issues that we don't come from that. We can't work through it as well with them. And we got to listen to Fun do that, and she really made Pa work through some tough questions and challenged her a lot. And by the end of it, Pa said that she wanted to make a decision to follow Christ. And Pa is someone who we thought, I just don't know if she will, you know, but we watched God work in here and we were very excited to see that. And just as a kind of a current update with Pa, she is still back in her village. She left the church, went back to her village. And is living with her son and her mom's in that village, but she is the only believer in her village. And so, and there is no church in that area. So we do try to encourage her online. And we went to go visit with Fun a few times. And when we would go, we would do studies and sing some praise songs and pray with her. But that is not the same as having a church body to grow with as a new believer, as you can imagine. So please pray for her and pray for her growth in the Lord. Another girl here who I'd like to share with you with. Our heartbeat in missions, when we think about missions in Thailand for Todd and I, we get really excited when we see Thai people reaching out to their fellow Thais because the Spirit has moved them to do so and they want to obey God's word in that. Not because we're telling them you should do this, but we see God just working to do it in their hearts. And so Loma is one of those ladies that I've gotten to see that in. And it's been a blessing to work with her. Loma is, her name means dolphin in Thailand. And she actually was a believer in the church that we were helping in Bangkok. And she came up to me one day. She was in a new dating relationship with a nice Christian man. And she said, you know, I have watched you and Todd, and I like the relationship that you have. And would you consider mentoring me in this new dating relationship? And I didn't know at that time, but I was very excited to say, yes, you know, I'd love to do that. And that turned into a discipling relationship. But I didn't know at the time that, Loma had come from, was coming from a very broken home. Her mom was homosexual, and her dad had left their home, and there was abuse there. And her mom's girlfriend is the one who was the most stable person raising her most of her life. And her grandma's very, very Buddhist and very controlling with that in her life. So she struggled a lot, and she didn't know what a healthy marriage relationship should really be. And so she wanted to know from God's word. And so that mentoring relationship has grown, and I've been working with Loma about 3 years now. We've been meeting together regularly, and I've watched her grow immensely in God's word and in the Lord, and now she's married to her boyfriend that she had been dating, and they're doing very well. And I would just like you to pray for Loma, because more recently, as I've seen her grow, I was thinking, I think she's at the point that she should be, you know, reaching out to some others. And so I was praying about how to talk with her about that before I left to come here for furlough. But then God surprised me. She came to me and she said, I'm very excited. This past couple weeks, there was a girl from church who had been attending church for quite a while, but she came up to me the other day and she said, you know, Loma, I'm kind of embarrassed about this, but I haven't like even opened my Bible to read it on my own in like 5 years. And Loma's like, well, I knew how much God's word, what a blessing it has been to me. And I was just like, well, just start, why don't you come over regularly, like every other week, and we'll study whatever the pastor's been preaching on, and we'll study God's word together. And she started doing that with her, just on her own, and then inviting other girls have started joining them as well. And she was excited that God had worked in her heart and to see that need, and has been excited to watch this other girl grow and enjoy God's word. So I just would ask you to pray for Loma and continued growth in her, and for her new marriage as well.
So as we conclude here, just a kind of couple basic prayer requests. You know, we pray for you ask you guys to pray for us as we go back and get settled into life and ministry there in Thailand, for the Lord to kind of form that team that we would work with to continue to do a church planting ministry there. And what that would look like, we don't know exactly. But we're asking for your prayers in that as we follow Christ and the steps that he has us take when we get returned back there in early February. We go back February 4th. So pray for us and our local ministry there in Thailand with the Thais, and moving forward with ministry there. And also, again, pray for team leaders for the other countries that we help oversee. We know that that would be a huge blessing to those countries and those missionaries who would be under their care. So thank you again so much. And we have our little display back there. Come check it out. Sign up for our newsletter if you want to get that through email. There's some fun things to taste back there, right? Some mango, some tamarind, some fish strips there, if you're more adventurous.
And sticky rice sticky in the rice. Pot there. I steamed sticky rice this morning, so there's little individually wrapped sticky rice. You can dip it in the sweet chili sauce to try it.
Yeah, yeah. No double dipping though, right?
No double dipping.
Okay.
Or don't let anyone see you double dip.
any of the sticky rice that's left over, my youngest son will eat it all up. So it might be better if you guys eat it up instead. He loves it, misses it a lot. Yeah, and then I guess that would be, if there's anything else.
I did want to share one need that we have on the field in Bangkok. Over the past term, we sent our daughter Isabel to Thai Christian School in Bangkok. And while sending her there, we came to realize that a lot of the Thai teachers, because they're, I should say, it's 50% English and 50% Thai. And so they teach all their subjects in both Thai and English. So their Thai teachers, most of them were Christians, and so they would teach the subjects from a Christian worldview. But the English teachers, I don't think any of them, as we found over time, were believers. And so they were not teaching subjects from a biblical worldview. which became an issue, of course, but we found this out as time went on. And so we did go meet with the school, and we found that they just didn't have a pool of teachers to draw from when they put out their need for teachers that was a Christian group of people. And so they did say, as missionaries, you probably would know some teachers who are Christians, right? I said, yeah, we could definitely share the need for teachers. So when they do have an opening, they would love for Christian teachers. It is from pre-K through 12 at the school. They have different openings at different times. So if you or someone you know would be interested in teaching, it is not connected with ABWE. It's just a mission field in and of itself, and it would be in Bangkok. And if you would like to know more, or someone else would like to know more that you know of as a teacher, they would need to have at least, I believe, they do need a teaching degree, a license, and they need to have at least a year of teaching experience, I believe, yeah, before they go. So you could just come ask us for more information.
Yeah, great. If the opening pops up, it is a great opportunity as a mission field there in itself. Most people not believers, you get a visa with it and a salary, and so it's a good opportunity if when the need arises. So thank you guys so much. We really appreciate you guys as a supporting church. It's been really encouraging, and I'm not just saying that. And so I just, we love it. We love it. And so thank you. We'll go ahead and close in prayer, and I think the worship team will come up that time, right? Heavenly Father, Lord, God, you are worth everything, more than everything. God, you are not even worthy to be compared with anything. And you've given us a great task, both here in the local church and overseas and missions. And we thank you for the ability to work together as your body, brothers and sisters in Christ, to obey the Great Commission, and to take the gospel to places where people have never heard it. Lord, you are so gracious and so kind and patient with us. And we praise you for that. We thank you for all the blessings. May our souls truly bless you as we praise and lift up your name and exalt you as first placed in our life and in this church and on the mission field. Lord, help us now to make changes in our life that we need to make in order to follow you more closely, in order to be more bold with our faith, in order to share the good news with others who need to hear it, who have no hope unless we tell them, Lord, whether that's here in our family, at our workplace, at our school, or way over in Thailand. Lord, there are so many needs and so many needy people who need to hear this good news, truly is good news. Lord, I just ask you to work in our lives, ask you to lead us each day, and may we enjoy the fellowship time that we have here this morning. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.